From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Alaska officials familiar with the state's public health system say a funding injection to prepare for the new coronavirus cannot erase years of budget cuts. Anchorage Daily News reported Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy has proposed $13 million in new spending to monitor and prevent the spread of the virus that causes the disease called COVID-19. No cases have been found in Alaska. State health spending peaked in 2014 when Alaska spent $28 million annually on public health nursing and $7.6 million on epidemiology. 6 years later, those figures have dropped to $22 million and $2 million, respectively. The state will not bring criminal charges against the Juneau police officer involved in a fatal shooting late last year. According to a release from the Juneau Police Department, a letter received today from the Alaska Department of Law states that Officer James Esbenshade was, quote, legally justified in his use of deadly force in order to defend himself from the threat of a serious physical injury, end quote. Esbenshade was responding to a 911 call on the night of December 29th when he encountered Kelly Michael Stevens on Cinema Drive in the Mendenhall Valley. Police said Stevens threatened to kill Esbenshade and approached him while swinging a rope with a chain attached to the end. Police said Esbenshade warned Stevens to stop before firing one shot, hitting the 34-year-old in the stomach. Stevens later died from his wounds. Esbenshade was placed on administrative leave after the shooting per department policy. He returned to work in January in an administrative role. He can return to patrol duty next week, according to JPD. A Juneau woman who sued the state of Alaska for sex discrimination won her case on Friday. Jennifer Fletcher is a state legislative librarian. She's also transgender, and she paid thousands in out-of-pocket costs for surgical treatment because the state's health insurance won't cover sexual reassignment surgery for transgender employees. Fletcher and her lawyers at Lambda Legal said this violates Title VII, the federal civil rights law that prohibits sex discrimination. They argued that the surgeries she wanted to get would have been covered if she weren't transgender, and that's discrimination based on her sex. They argued that a federal ban on sex discrimination includes discrimination based on gender nonconformity, gender identity, transgender status, and gender transition. The state argued that its denial of coverage for Fletcher's surgery wasn't discriminatory because it was not motivated by her sex. It's a blanket policy that applies equally to men and women. But U.S. District Court Judge Russell Holland agreed with Fletcher, though the decision could be appealed to a higher court. Fletcher said today that she hopes this decision will keep other people like her from facing the same struggles. She says she hopes it will make their lives easier. State ferry service between Sitka and Juneau isn't scheduled to resume until mid-April, but officials in Sitka hope the state will charter an interim ferry before then. In February, the DOT contracted Allen Marine to provide limited passenger ferry service to several villages, including Hoonah and Tenneke Springs. About half the contract's value, nearly $11,000, was for a passenger ferry between Sitka and Juneau. DOT, however, never scheduled the Sitka run. In response to an inquiry from Coast Alaska, DOT officials said in a Tuesday statement that, quote, the community declined service. This was not an option, a DOT spokeswoman wrote, but the community of Sitka opted out in favor of air travel. Not so, says Sitka's city administrator, John Leach.
Sitka is interested in exploring options for ferry travel while the Alaska Marine Highway system is down.
Leach says the city was never consulted, so he reached out to the DOT for clarification. And it all came down to crossed wires over a regional sports tournament.
The misunderstanding happened when our local basketball team was contacted about ferry travel under the gold medal program, and they already had travel arranged for their trip to get there via air.
As of Thursday, state transportation officials have not commented on the misunderstanding. In an email, a DOT spokeswoman wrote that the state will reach out to explore the option of interim service to Sitka. Allen Marine's first scheduled charter run between Juneau and the smaller communities was on February 29th. It served about 30 passengers. The region has been without regular ferry service since the state ferry Matanuska broke down in mid-January. After 10 years of certification, Gulf of Alaska cod will have its blue sticker sustainability label suspended starting next month. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Kavitha George reports.
After a climate change-caused crash pushed Gulf cod to near overfished status last year, the suspension of the Marine Stewardship Council Blue Label did not come as a surprise to the industry. The MSC is a leading standard bearer for sustainable fisheries around the world, and right now, impacts of losing MSC certification are still unclear. With no federal cod fishery this season and only a small state fishery, there isn't a lot of Gulf cod to sell this year anyway. An independent audit of the fishery this winter essentially found that Gulf cod stocks aren't big enough, and not enough young cod are entering the fishery. That's what triggered the suspension. The auditor was clear, however, that the suspension is not a result of poor management. Rather, it blames the 2013 to 2016 marine heatwave that decimated cod stocks in the Gulf. Right now, the MSC does not distinguish between climate-caused suspensions and management-caused suspensions, something industry players criticized when it became clear that Gulf cod was close to suspension. In January, an MSC spokesperson told Alaska's Energy Desk that distinguishing climate-change-caused fishery suspensions is worth taking another look at, though no actions have been taken yet. Gulf cod makes up less than 10% of Alaska's cod market following the crash, according to the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. The majority of the state's cod comes out of the Bering Sea and Aleutian Islands fisheries, both of which remain MSC certified. For Alaska's Energy Desk in Kodiak, I'm Kavitha George.
The Alaska House has voted to remove Republican Representative David Eastman from his committee's assignments, at least temporarily, suggesting a breaking point within his GOP caucus. The leader of that caucus, House Minority Leader Lance Pruitt, says it will be up to Eastman to show he wants to be a member of the caucus team. Pruitt says he anticipated revisiting the issue of committee assignments in a month. Pruitt says he wasn't interested in getting into all the details that led to the vote, but said things happened publicly and privately. Eastman says he thought members were free to represent their districts. The Alaska Board of Game begins a week-long meeting in Fairbanks today. The meeting is focused on a proposed change to hunting and trapping regulations and seasons in the interior and eastern Arctic regions. They include proposed predator control programs and a buffer zone to protect wolves along the northeastern boundary of Denali National Park. Game Board meets at Pike's Waterfront Lodge today through Saturday, March 14th. Today's agenda includes Fish and Game and other agency reports, followed by public and advisory committee testimony, which is expected to continue into Sunday, after which the board will begin deliberating over 100 proposals. Alaska lawmakers have moved forward with legislation to better align electric utilities in the state's most populated areas. The Alaska Journal of Commerce reports the effort to maximize efficiency of the interconnected system in the Rail Belt, which stretches from Seward to Fairbanks, is a culmination of years of work. A bill approved by the Special Senate Rail Belt Electric System Committee was heard in the Senate Finance Committee. An identical bill moved to the House Resources Committee. The bills seek to codify work done by electric utilities with direction from the Regulatory Commission of Alaska to integrate planning among six utilities in regions where the Alaska Railroad operates. How do you remove an underwater mine? Very carefully and with lots of robotics. The U.S. Navy recently demonstrated their expertise during a training exercise in Juneau. Sailors launched submersibles that ran back and forth across the downtown harbor, making maps and looking for objects that were unusual or out of place. And in the absence of real explosives, they practiced identifying some of the things they found at the bottom of the Gastineau Channel. Tires, crab pots, and logs. KTO's Matt Miller hopped on a boat with the teams and produced this audio postcard of sailors launching and retrieving underwater drones in the harbor.
So you said we're flying through this side now?
Yeah, we're launching it.
This is Commander John Laney. I'm the commander of Mine Countermeasures, Division 3-1.
All right, 3-2-1, lift.
In the event that there are mines in the harbor, if that happened, we would be called to go survey the harbor, put down divers in the harbor to render those mines safe, use remotely operated vehicles to render those areas safe, and then open that harbor back up for shipping, transport, fishing, and other uses.
My name is AG3 Fuentes. I'm with NOMWIC. They'll do their thing. We'll monitor while they do their missions. Make sure everything's running okay, make sure there's no faults, make sure vehicle's running how it's supposed to. And then after it's done, we'll go pick it up. They'll let us know when it's done.
We can see pictures of logs. We've found some wrecks, some shipwrecks. We've been looking for some aircraft wrecks, haven't found those yet. But we do see fishing gear, logs, plenty of tires on the bottom.
I'm Barbara Fletcher. I'm an engineer and project manager. We are supporting the Navy with these next generation expeditionary remotely operated vehicles, developing the technologies and getting them to the point where they are suitable for the sailors to operate.
We were just in the Baltic not too long ago, and there are still thousands, possibly even hundreds of thousands of mines left over from World War I and World War II that are still in the Baltic. And we found approximately 19 historical mines, and we were able to dispose of approximately 8 to 10 of those mines.
See it pop up anywhere? No? Oh, there it is. Straight ahead. You guys see it? Okay.
A little orange fin sticking up.
Yep, that's a good indicator to know where it's at.
I'm Lieutenant JG Richard Drummerhauser.
You're essentially the underwater bomb squad guy. Is that it?
Yes. We do have the option to BIP or blow in place. That means to take care of that problem where it stands. And then that would be taking into consideration where we are, making sure that everybody is safe in order to do that. Or we can RTB or raise to a beach and essentially move an object to a safer location where we can then dispose of it in that location.
How heavy is that thing?
About 100 pounds.
Yeah, about 100 pounds.
Oh, it's the cold water that's the problem here, right?
Oh, yeah. When it's in the water, when we retrieve it, it's got water in its nose, so it makes it a little bit heavier. So when you pick it up, we have to like hold it out a little bit so it drains out, and then we pick it in.
Those were the voices and sounds of a U.S. Navy Explosive Ordnance Disposal Group that just spent 2 weeks in Juneau as part of Arctic Edge 2020 exercises. And finally, here's a look at the weekend weather forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island from the National Weather Service. Tonight, partly cloudy, isolated snow showers, lows around 20. Saturday, scattered snow showers, highs in the mid-30s. Sunday, snow, light snow accumulations, highs in the mid-30s. And don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour on Saturday night or Sunday morning. Daylight saving time begins in Alaska at 2 a.m. Sunday. That is it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, March 6, 2020. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.